Sheesh, what?
I told you I was stealing it, but
you can't take that's mine.
All right,
dude.
Let's do another take. Another take. Let's start this over.
That music right there. Man. One and
how many?
Guys, it's Tidatus.
How many music checks did we do to get this?
Two, just a couple. Well, we're back, guys, and it's episode one of season two, part two, whatever the hell we're calling it.
I like that a lot.
And
yeah.
In the introduction of this new season, we're adding a third engineer slash guru slash stat guy slash Larson. How many slashes? In Mateo Larson here, my Spanish fucking brother.
Hey, that's pretty good.
What an intro.
He's a Spaniard. You know, listen, I often try to introduce him that way to ladies, but he's learned in this back and forth.
Yeah.
When I introduce him that way, he has one goal, one job. Smile and nod. Don't say a fucking word. As soon as you talk, they know you're not from Spain.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I thought that intro was interesting. I love that you wrote all that down. Like, that was a really nice speech that, you know, seems like it was off the cuff. You really delivered that well. But
sometimes I'm sneaky and I write shit down in the moment.
Sneaky.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
I'm going to get you to write my next speech as well.
Cheers.
What's happening, guys?
Cheers. Welcome to episode one of the new
sober
season.
January.
The new start, man.
Kevin, pleasure to join you guys.
It's a pleasure to have you here, sir.
Larson, I told you to be quiet. Look, you're already jumping in. I said, Larson, listen, this first podcast, let's just not talk much. He's already said a couple words. I'm putting it back in the corner. No, I'm just kidding, guys. Tidatus, we're having fun.
We keep saying putting him in the corner. Are we gonna address
the elephant in the room? We're not going to do that. Just go look up. I don't know if that's. We don't even know if that's true. It's just something we found on the internet.
Yeah,
and
if you find that, just go take a look at the origin of the phrase, the elephant in the room.
It was funny. We thought it was funny.
What? That's aggressive. Very aggressive.
Awful humans. Anyways, this is the Tidatus. Tidatus.
I'm thinking about you.
The podcast that never seems to quit. I mean, it does hibernate. It does take long, long breaks.
You
but,
know what else
it
doesn't seem to quit doing? Though, is trying to fucking save the world. One.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's necessary. I mean, it is vital to humanity's existence.
It's great to be back. And you know, as normal, we jump into sports. So let's talk about it, man. Listen,
okay.
Let's talk about it. Motherfucking Indiana.
That's what we want to talk about first. That's
dude.
That is over CJ Stroud and the.
Yeah, no, because I like this one. This is a fun one.
And
we can beat up on him when we're getting ready to take another.
Okay, so you're doing Indiana first. Let's do Indiana football first. You color you impressed is what I said.
Yeah,
what I'm hearing from you.
Color me impressed. Fucking impressed all the way
by the quarterback, the coach. What all
of
love.
It.
Yeah,
every
I'm with you.
Single one of these 3-star kids. That man, they showed what a team really, really can do. And I love the still frame, the touchdown, the dive, right? The super Mendoza.
For the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. And every bit of that game, you know, even, how about this? Going into the playoffs, I find myself all the time each year, whenever the Heisman Trophy winner is playing, mm-hmm. One of the first phrases out of my mouth is, show me what you got, Heisman. Holy
yeah, we
shit.
Talked about that. And that was kind of you. Like breaking down the idea that Heisman doesn't equal like accomplishment, national championship being like the highest level in college sports, right? And so you kind of separate that in the certain element of like, yeah, it's individual greatness, but it's not like great how we think about the greatest of all times being how you perform in those critical moments.
Big moments there.
This kid did produce. I don't know what the stats are. Larson, you probably should have that.
The first
close,
two games, I can tell you this. First two games before we get into the national title
game.
The first two games, he had more touchdowns than incompletions in the two games together.
That's pretty good. But more touchdowns than incompletions.
He
that's
had
a pretty
more
good,
touchdown
that's
passes
a good
than incompletions.
That would be one of those stats, right?
Yeah, you'd be really shocked to know, guys. The only touchdown he had in that game was that absolutely impressive run he had.
The Superman dive.
Yeah. Only so no passing touchdowns.
But you
gotta
think like this. Look, Miami's a top notch defense, all right? He went 16-27 for 186 yards. He had no touchdowns, but he had no interceptions.
Yeah,
he made
that's
no
it.
Mistakes.
Yeah. You know, and if we link back to the CJ Stroud conversation,
James.
That is kind of the most glaring, I guess, differences in those games, you know.
Right, so aside from
one guy
loss,
protected the ball,
mistakes.
One guy protected the ball, and then had a gutsy kind of play, and you know I think that play does, you know, this is a good player, obviously Heisman winner, regular season, you know, he's really really productive, but I think that run to score that touchdown probably kind of, you know, puts him in some other echelon. You know what I mean? It's
heard
just
me say earlier, it's simply this. That picture belongs in the Louvre, dude. That's fucking art. That was a play of plays, man. Listen, I'm giving him a lot of praise there. This kid, big balls, because it's not that he just dove in for the touchdown for the win, but it was also broken tackles. He broke tackles
It was just one of those things where
it was like, I said, show me Heisman. This motherfucker gave me the Heisman pose like Desmond Howard back in the day. That's what he did.
You know, as you were speaking there, I was remembering a conversation we had the other night, Nick, about like what it is in players that, you know, when the moment is, you know, the pressure's so much, right? Championships games, whatever, high stakes games, and something in them, whatever, the noise goes away or whatever, you just make a play, right? Like your instinct is to actually make a play. I talked to my kids about, you know, approaching the game, and you know, I remember having a conversation with Gabby once about, I said, you're playing the game to not make a mistake.
That's afraid.
That game plan is rot for failure.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I said, you want to play the game
in a way. Rot, like ROTT for the fair, or ROUGHT? Rot.
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 I don't know the spelling, but however I used it, I feel good about it.
Yeah, it's you know, and it's.
Like wrought iron?
Sure. And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so probably ROUGHT. It's the rot with failure or rot to failure.
What did I say?
I don't remember. One of the two. Either way.
Run the tape back. In that moment, like, what do you do, right? Do you have the instinct to, like, make a play, or at least the attempt to make a play? And, like, there's some kind of element about guys that, like, the instinct to make a play, right? And you know, whatever the other, the fear would be not to make a play, but not make a mistake. But it seems like when they do, like, take a chance, when they do take a chance, even if it's, like, a, you know, low probability, achievement of whatever that chance is, they seem to, you know, get it, you know, so something about that risk taking kind of works in their favor.
It's the opposite, as I'm understanding you say, it's the opposite of you're not playing afraid. Like, because I feel like when you play afraid, the propensity, the probability, the percentages of you actually not only failing but making a fucking mistake and or just choking.
Yeah.
If you're playing afraid, like more often than not, in my experience, right, that's what happens. And when you do the polar
afraid,
opposite,
no,
of
I mean, like afraid. What do you mean by
afraid? Afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, that's what it is, right? Yeah. It's the playing not to make a mistake versus playing to make a play. Yeah, knowing that you might make a mistake, but man, if I make this play, like how is that, right?
Yeah.
Like it's like how interceptions happen. I'm not gonna go for the interception for the sake of, you know, I might miss that ball. Okay, yeah, but if you make the interception, pick six.
Right, the hyperbole of it is right. Yeah. Is the no guts, no glory.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong, but that's not exactly what we're talking about. There's another step, but the other side too is the scared, right?
So that quarterback performance did hit on all those things we're talking about with the positive way.
What was the numbers again? 10 of what? Or 16?
Otherwise unimpressive.
16 and 27. But keep in mind, guys, that touchdown play. It was a 3-point game at that point, and it was 4th and 3.
And what was the time left on the clock?
It was about 4 minutes ago in the game.
Okay, so yeah, but yeah, it was 4th and 3. You're right. It was fucking 4th and 3.
And the great thing about it is, you know, look, Indiana could have got the field goal. They could have made a, you know, 6-point game. Forced Miami. Actually, it was less than 4 minutes ago. It was almost 2 minutes ago in the game. And basically, Indiana was like, you know what? If we get the first down here, we can take 2 more minutes off the clock. We can get the field goal, maybe a touchdown, and then go ahead. And just bleed the clock down, give nothing left for Miami.
Yeah.
Instead, Mendoza says, you know what? I got this.
Mendoza
said,
I have a better plan. Here's a better idea. How about I just go win this motherfucker right now?
Yeah, there's a I don't want to skip to the Texans game, but there was an interesting kind of breakdown. You and I were going over the other day, Nick, with regard to two touchdowns were questionable officiating
plays.
Oh,
for the Texans game? Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a second, but the concept is, like, sometimes a play – like, yeah, you can't score more than 6 points on a touchdown run, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes that equals, like, more points, you know what I mean? For example, a pick six in your own end zone is not – it's 6 points on the board, but, like, you kept them at minimum out of 3 points, but, you know, maybe six points. So it's almost like a 12-point swing in
gotcha.
A certain way,
sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
And so,
it's similar in basketball.
Yeah, so that, like, that's kind of what you're thinking about, like that play, you know, critical moments at critical times to make, you know, that could have been a field goal there. And then, you know, who knows what's going on in that game? Big Mo shifts a little bit.
Well, then the idea there, like, again, if they're up 3, 4th and 3 late in the game, they could take the field goal and they could be up 6. But they said, not only fuck it, let's go win it right now. Instead of being up 6, now I'm up fucking 9 going on 10. And what I just did was tell you, I'm not afraid. Fuck you. I'm playing to win here, baby. I am playing to win. And when you do that, you want to talk about Big Mo? Yeah.
Right.
Now you need 2 scores in fucking 2 minutes. Good luck.
It gets even better, guys. So Carson Beck, obviously, for that last interception that sealed their fate, right?
Like 14 seconds in the game, something like that.
That man has only lost six games as a collegiate quarterback.
Three of them were national titles?
Well, no. Four of those six games were because he threw a pick at the last either the last play of the game or the last minute.
Last drive. Last time his hands were on the ball, he gave it away.
Yeah.
I think it's a good transition point there, segue to, speaking of turning over the ball pretty much every time his hands were on it, Colloquius James, the second draft pick overall, right?
I think to save everyone a deep breakdown of that game, because like it was all over. You'd have been blind to not like see it. Okay, but this is something interesting. Maybe you guys think so. Maybe not. But is CJ Stroud specifically about after this game? Is he more hated than Interception City Matt Schaub? Yeah, or whatever. Pick six, Matt Schaub. Pick six. Didn't he have like some kind of four games in a row to end his Larson? You should probably look this up.
Well, I remember the great Monday night game against Baltimore, the pick six.
Is he more hated than Schaub?
Yeah, like after that game in Houston, you know what I mean? Like, is he more of a villain? Is he more of a scapegoat? Like, you know, they burn Schaub jerseys, right? Like, are we there with CJ? I haven't seen quite the burning of the jerseys.
No,
what I've seen mostly is it's a comical kind of take about CJ's performance.
I saw specifically, actually, as you say that, there was a is a Mexican dude, and I say that on purpose because he's like prototypical, stereotypical Mexican Texans fan, cowboy hat, blah, 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 rocking a Texans jersey. But he's coming, his video he made, his reel, was to the fucking, the intro song to, what's it called? Step by Step. Everywhere you go.
That's hilarious.
Or no, Full House. It was a Full House theme. That's
okay,
what it was.
Yeah.
Anyways, he goes through that, and the ending of it is it says "Puro pinche Texans," right? But he jokingly, ha ha, like he's gonna cut his wrist watching the game. He's joking like he was gonna break his TV. He's joking like he's gonna light his jersey on fire, his Stroud jersey, and then he just smiles, hugs it, like touches the arm and gives it a big hug, and it's playing that song. And it was like you said, it's joking. Like, I haven't seen an actual visceral response.
Yeah.
There's not a visceral response. You want to burn their shit.
I guess in that maybe next vein is, does that kind of say that CJ is, like, savable in the fans' eyes? I mean, like, you know, hey, it's...
Well, so your question you asked, as I heard it, right, or as it interpreted, was, is he more hated than Schaub?
Right.
How about this? I don't think so. And I don't remember actually, I would say, me hating Schaub. But I do also recall, yes, there was games in a row where we had pick sixes that were just, yeah. They were terrible.
You'll like this. So it was this last season of the Texans. The first 2 weeks of the year goes absolutely bonkers.
Who are we talking about?
Matt Schaub, 2013.
Okay.
So it goes absolutely berserker, has two great comebacks. Everything's great. And then the next 2 weeks, he throws three interceptions and included two pick sixes. And the local media said, Houston, we have a schwablem.
I hate it. That's stupid. I'm done. Man. Cut that. Write that down. We're cutting that.
Schwablem.
That's done. That's Larson, I'm done. I'm kicking Larson off the show already. Don't bring that garbage on here.
That's funny. I like it.
Don't encourage him, Nick.
I don't know that I would say more hated. No, well, I think definitely that, not to me, because, again, I don't remember me personally like having a visceral response to Schaub, at least now. Maybe I did then, but I don't recall it. With CJ, is he salvageable? Fuck, I don't know, man. I don't know. I've seen this kid, in my opinion, like the pouty on the sideline, the head down. What drives me nuts is that's the opposite behavior that I want from my motherfucking leader of this team. Like, we talked about the day of, right, the game. You saw Brady. You saw fucking Manning. You saw, like, when they made mistakes, they were fucking mad, and they were hyping up, and they were talking shit, and they were charging their team up, right?
Yeah.
What they weren't doing was sitting over there moping, and that's what he looked like he was doing.
Yeah, I think that body language with success is a misnomer. Hey, we got a quirky guy. You know what I mean? Hey, he's focused. He's locked in. But that body language with the failure, it's like a piece of the puzzle. Like, there's people beating him up. Apparently, his pregame warm up includes baseball throwing and basketball shooting in a way that people are like, well, no wonder a quarterback's so bad. Have y'all seen those videos?
No. Well, so the one I saw, and Kevin sent in the group, and right, you've seen it. His QBR was,
Nick,
what, like 26 or 28?
We got to show him stuff sometimes. I'm sorry.
His QBR was either 26 or 28, and the guy at the comment again, I haven't verified this. Maybe you want to, please.
That's what you want verified?
A QBR of 39.6 is what you can get if you spike the ball every play.
That's what they say.
Regardless, how about this? If his QBR was under 30, right, 28, 26, it doesn't matter. That was shit. It was terrible. He was beyond terrible, again, by comparison to fucking Super Fernando Mendoza there, bro. Like, talk about
winning. I mean, I'm with you.
And shitting yourself.
I'm with you. I mean, but.
And also, remember, Mendoza got hit in the fucking mouth.
Yeah, he also. Hit, how about this?
He got popped and was bleeding.
Also, though, if.
And he did look.
What was the final score?
28-16?
No. Yes, 28-16.
28-16.
Okay, punch in the mouth, Superman, you love him. You want to quarterback your team? Yeah, I'm with you. But if they lose that game and he gets punched, he did act like a little bitch once he got punched in the mouth. If they lose that game, you know, people are going, look at him. No wonder. Right, he got punched in his mouth, and he was like a little bit of a bloody lip, and he's over on the sideline like he can't, you know. I don't know. I like the kid too. Jiminy Christmas.
I like your microphone.
It is my. That's all right. I blame Larson. Yeah, I like the kid too. For me, I don't know. I put a lot of weight on coach.
Yeah, so it says again. He just showed me Larson. So if you spike the ball every play as a quarterback, had zero completions, your QBR is still 39.6.
Yeah, I just assumed that was the case.
That's insanely silly because, like, that just further mathematically puts a quantifiable number on it. That's why I like it, of how bad he actually was. Like. It's not my emotion. It's not hyperbole. It is a mathematical fucking statement that backed up well your numbers.
Yeah.
Say, like, you want to talk about the actual, you are literally, not metaphorically, literally a big pile of steaming shit. I would be better to spike the ball. You suck.
Yeah, CJ's rating in that game was only 28.
So arguably the worst quarterback performance maybe ever in a playoff game. Definitely worst. I don't know. Okay, let's go back to. Playoff Shabby losses.
Sixes. Yeah, man.
Is that worse? That feel worse than this Rosenkopter?
Dude, listen, at least Sage Rosenfeld
getting your ass
he
kicked
did?
By.
I remember, the Rosenkopter. Mahomes. That's called a fucking effort, dog. Listen.
Yeah, but he looked like an idiot because it didn't go anywhere. I mean, you can effort your ass all you want. It fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if C.J. Stroud was lacking effort. He's efforted the other team the ball a bunch.
What I mean by that is,
I watched the game. It wasn't just a complete lack of protection of the ball. There were some tip balls. There were some bad throws. Sure. There was some. You know, no. The offensive line's been an issue forever. No, I don't think so ever. No. Okay. No.
How about this? For me, when I see a quarterback that leader position sitting over there pouting like that is that leans into the quitting part, which is what stands out to me about him specifically.
I'm
saying that is because listen, as a fan. Man, I will go out on my shield with you. I will lose. I hate losing. Again, obviously, I'm not there, but I hate losing. I'll lose with you if you don't quit on me. As long as you don't quit on me, man, I'm there with you. And I feel like that's
I don't understand what you. I agree with you, like in principle, but I'm not draping quit over him. Like he didn't.
Does he not have it physically? Does he not have the talent and ability?
Hold on, let me finish that thought. I even agree that body language is something, but I don't think it represents quit necessarily.
I said it was okay, close. It's something in there. Yeah.
To me, it's more like he was lost,
scared. Okay,
lost. I don't
so
even know
not
scared.
Quitting, just lost.
Yeah, lost by way of like I know this is not good.
I've never
really had this kind of experience before. I don't really know how to pull myself out of it. You know what I mean?
I have no idea what to do here.
Like I think the best. Word or description, and the worst thing that maybe I think about, like the absence of this draped over CJ, is like what makes me question him as a quarterback, and that is somebody said he has no dog in him, right? And so I think like even more than quit, like not quit, you know what I mean? Like quit by saying I give up, I'm walking away. Yeah, that's the worst, but he's not doing that. You know what I mean? They asked him if he thought about pulling himself out. It's like, no, as a player, you never think about pulling yourself out. Like, it's going to click. Like, as a player, you know, you think, like, okay, I'm just one throw. You know, and they were so close in the game that's, you know.
Okay.
So again, it's not quit by like I give up or you know this is too hard. So, but like no dog in him. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Similar thing though. I think there's a very there's a, at least a Venn diagram overlap between quitting and no dog
well,
somewhere in there.
I think with regard to like attributes that I don't want in my quarterback, absolutely. Yeah. But regard to like. You know, like quit. Like I'll wash my hands of you when you quit. You know what I mean. But if you're lacking dog, it's like okay, not everybody can be Michael Jordan or Larry Bird or you know what I'm saying. Like dog isn't like I don't even know how you invent that, create that, study for, practice for. Like I don't know
where you find that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, like the thing what resonates with dog so much for me is because like I feel like that's why I played the game. Like whatever I thought about Craig Biggio. You know what I mean. Like getting your jersey. Your uniform dirty like on the first play, the idea of, you know what I mean, because I'm giving it all, like that's the way I played the game, and you know, to the point where I, like it manifests a hate losing. So like the idea of lacking dog, like I understand that in a way that, yeah, I'd like my quarterback, you know, whatever, I don't care about the Texans, but you know what I mean, to have some dog in him. That being said, again, I played a bunch of sports. I've been around people who are plenty talented that have no dog in them. Like, I've been around people who are way better than me, but they didn't have whatever I had to, like, be better. And it's like, you're a fucking waste. Dude, yeah. If I was as tall as you, as fast as you, if I, you know what I mean, if I could do that.
So here's the movie quote popping in my head there. It's just from fucking Bronx Tale. The very beginning of the movie, he says, wasted talent, right? That's what you're talking about there. It's a wasted talent. It's the talent, all the talent in the world, all the ability, but no motherfucking dog.
Well, no.
So when it gets rough, when shit's not going your way, you're lacking of that dog. You don't hate losing so much that you're willing to fucking keep fighting.
And how about this? And it just like everything I like to understand, it's on a spectrum. You know what I mean? Meaning like maybe CJ Stroud isn't black and white. You either have it or you don't dog. You know what I mean? Right? Like meaning some people are non-confrontational, attacked physically or something like that. But like when their kid gets involved, it's like, I don't care at this point. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, right? Okay. So again, so CJ,
this have you yeah. have do you think of a moment is there sometime somewhere in CJ's 3 years with the Texans where you saw something that actually reflected a dog or a fight
that
in him?
That rookie year was exceptional. Like he played well above what we typically think is, you know, a rookie year for quarterbacks, right? There's this idea of development and growth.
Can you pull up his numbers from his rookie year? Actually, you know what? Pull up his career stats, please. I want to hear just a
bit. But, yeah, let's go through. Pull up his rookie stats and, like, game by game his rookie season. Because
again, I asked you, like, is there anything that stands out in your mind, right? Dog, there was an example of it. I don't have one. I'm asking you on purpose. I'm asking genuinely.
I mean, again, and, like –
and I see Larson keeps making faces too, because I don't know if one stands out either for you there. Right?
You don't want like one play or
no,
one?
Is there a game or a space or something?
A performance?
When I say dog, how about this? Deshaun
Watson
fucking playoff against the Bills. Should have been sacked, spun out, made the big play. That's what I'm talking about. Something standing out like that from CJ? I got nothing.
Deshaun Watson is some grand percentage better both on paper as a Texan and future career if he could otherwise figure shit out than CJ Stroud is. Like the idea, yeah. Deshaun Watson in that game on Sunday is a whole different freaking game.
Deshaun Watson was a monster.
Somebody the other day said, somebody said something to the equivalent of, yeah, see, it's a shame that Deshaun couldn't, you know, whatever, keep it in his pants or, you know, whatever. So it was something funnier than that. But isn't it true that there are players on the Texans starting roster that are from the Deshaun Watson trade,
yeah.
Right?
So we got draft picks, and we gave up him. We got three first-round picks.
Yeah,
And so, by the way, at the end of the Texans game the other day, one of the first things I saw on X, one of the first tweets was fucking hilarious, is it was like, hey, so is Cleveland in need of another quarterback? Because I would happen to be willing to trade for about three first-round picks. Just let me know. Give us a call.
There you go.
Would you take Deshaun back in Houston, given all the scandal? And you know what I mean? Like,
you're asking me? Of course. I love Deshaun. You know that.
Maybe not you, but you.
As the fans, hyperbolically speaking, for
you
the
don't
city?
Think
no.
the fans?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because he did kind of quit on the team. If you want to talk about quit, you know what I mean? How about this? We just did that, right? You said CJ showed you quit and no dog.
To, yeah.
Hold on. And Deshaun showed you dog. I'm telling you right now, dog butt quit. Didn't he quite literally refuse to play for the Texans? Wasn't there a whole thing where he sat out or he was injured?
Yep.
And he sat out.
I think
the conspiracy theory is whatever. I don't know if this is true or not, but that all that those stories came out as I think a way for the Texans to, you know, save some grace getting rid of him, or maybe even like, you know, push by the team.
I think that none of the stuff about Deshaun's illicit proclivities comes out at all if he actually would have played and or shut up. And again, there's other factors into why he sat out, et cetera. But the start of it, that first domino, I'd agree, was that season that year, and then him sitting out. There's threats back and forth, and that's what led to all this information and where we are. That path, in my opinion, does not exist if that first one doesn't fall. And did he quit? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
He literally said, I'm not playing, fuck y'all. And there was other reasons, all that, but yeah. What you got, Larson? Yeah.
All right, I got an interesting thing for you, I guess. Okay, so his rookie year, he threw for 4,108
yards.
Who's he?
CJ. Threw for 4,100 what?
4,108 yards, but it was only
23. You know, that only beat me by four.
But it was only 23 touchdowns in five.
Only?
Games. Well, he played
the 16
season.
Games, yeah.
Now.
His rookie season?
Yeah.
Did he come in? There was somebody. He wasn't the starter.
From day one.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, okay.
He's number two overall.
So this gets weird, right? Shows
how much I know about
football. His rating was 100.8.
Okay.
That season.
Okay.
This season, keep in mind, he missed his three games to
this
concussion.
This season? Okay, concussion, gotcha.
He threw for 3,041 yards, 19 touchdowns.
3,041?
Yeah.
It's about 1,000 less.
Yep. Which was 19th in the league still.
19th, okay, missing three games, fair.
19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but the quarterback rating of 61.8 sounds...
61.8?
But...
I'm calling that not good.
Yeah. But it's also 11th in the league still.
Oh.
Well, I don't care. It's no good.
I mean, it's top fit. It's top
so his rookie year, he had a 108...
QBR.
Okay, what was it every other year since then? That's good, right? I told you his rookie year was good. See, I do know football. I take that. Cut. Go. Hold on. Write down a few seconds ago so we can cut that out. So I still sound smart because I did say he had a great rookie year.
By the way, this is one of those things that we didn't talk about, but I know you've heard it at some points, right?
What?
This is one of the things that we do all the time on the podcast.
What do we do?
Josh declares editing this part.
No, don't give up the secret, sir. No, I gotta cut that out.
And
I am gonna cut that out. I'm cutting that out. I'm actually gonna cut that out.
You can't because I'm recording
what?
It.
you thinking that, sir?
So you guys mentioned 2024, right?
Yeah.
So his
second. Why would you say that? Now I'm offended. I hurt my feelings. I'm gonna cut that out. I'm actually gonna cut that out.
Shut up.
So his second season.
I'm gonna cut this out too, so nobody goes. What are you actually gonna cut out? And you're not gonna know. Just know it got cut out.
Trying to give us stats. I love you.
So, but last season, 3,700 yards passing. 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
We're still talking about CJ?
12 touchdowns.
What was his rating, I said?
87.
Last year. 61.
Okay, and then the year.
So
this is his third year or fourth year?
It's his third year. 108,
81, 60. Do it again.
So
108.
Uh-huh.
No, it was 100.8.
100.8, okay.
Get it? See? You're wrong. Ha. Yeah, that's one point for me. You keep the score?
So I got stat guy.
I think I'm winning 12 to 4, I think, is my count.
So what is his rating?
So it went from 100.8 down to...
You had it in your head in 81.
87.
Did you know?
61.
Yeah. I got it. This is his worst quarterback rating this year by far. And also, as a fan, as an owner, as a coaching staff, you would like expect or hope that those numbers were reversed, right? 61 in your rookie year, you go, hey, it's a new league. You're learning anything. 81, hey, we've improved. We got some things to work at. Hey, we just finished our third season. 100.8, best QBR you've ever had. That puts us in better than 11th. Top two or three QBRs in the league. Let's talk about extension, baby. But since it's not the other way, like it's like, let's kind of see what's going on. So this will be his fourth year next year.
I got one thing to add.
He's at the fourth year, still on the first round pick, and then he's got a fifth year option that he got to pick up probably this offseason.
What's this guy's name? Adam Schefter. Let me do Adam Schefter talking about his contract with regard to the fifth year because they have to take the fifth year before next year. Okay,
correct.
Fair.
You said, what do they do next at the quarterback position, right? So here's the deal: we already know the Panthers are picking up the fifth year option for the number one pick in that draft, Bryce Young. I don't think there's any way the Texans don't pick up the fifth-year option.
Yeah, I agree.
For C.J. Stroud. They're going to pick it up. Now the question is, do they, and you're going to balk when I say, do they extend him or do they let him play it out?
How do they handle it? Do they feel confident in Davis Mills, who went unbeaten in his three starts this year? Davis Mills was 3-0. They signed him to a two-year extension during the season. I think they probably think they're going to be okay with C.J. Stroud and Davis Mills.
All right, so
I smiled and smirked through that. I got a couple of things. My thought first was that we've talked before. There's a chick on Twitter, give her a shout out. It was Annie Agar. She does all those this week in this weekly update for the NFL teams, and she wears different jerseys, et cetera. The week that the Texans played, I think it was Jacksonville. Either way, whatever it was one of Davis Mills' games. It was the last Davis Mills game.
Yeah, the one we were at.
Yeah, so great comeback. And she started that off by saying, Jacksonville, you just lost to Littlefoot from the Land Before Time.
Okay.
Long neck. He's a long neck, and that's fucking great. Like, it's so apropos. And they brought him up there. Shafty brought him up because, listen, Davis Mills, what I've said from those three games and what I've impressed by this guy is that it's like not run second or third. It's like run 19th, stays in the pocket, finds the throw, throws it away. It's a smart play. Those three games, dude. I think after that, CJ started looking at it a little bit, but he's still not doing the same level.
Davis Mills should never, ever be uttered out of Texans fans' mouths as that's a better option or that's an option. He is a career, always will be, always going to be backup. If he's your starting quarterback, your team is no good. It's just the truth, okay? Like, the Texans almost have a folly that they have such a good, like, having the best backup quarterback is the worst thing you could ever have, because what starts to happen is every time the starting quarterback does anything, it's like, bring in the other guy, and he's no good. If he was any good, he'd be starting somewhere. He is not a starter, right? Three, like, in limited time, like, if your guy's gonna get injured, okay, he's a great guy to have because he can win some games, but, like, he's not a good quarterback.
He's a phenomenal backup game manager, and he can do just that.
Correct.
He's not the answer for any kind of long term.
You're never going to win a Super Bowl with this guy.
No, that's not what I said. That's, like, what I meant when I said.
And the
phenomenal
idea.
Phenomenal game manager, and he's gonna work when he's in there because he doesn't make. He's smart in that simple play, but he ain't the answer.
I really hope that goes well for the Broncos here this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Can a backup quarterback lead the team to the Super Bowl, please?
maybe. Hopefully. All right. Hey, guys, listen.
Let's
take a break right here, and then we'll come back to it. Now we're going. No, it's not. Hang on. Are back one more time.
So and we're back. We didn't do that at the beginning, but that's a whole.
I did, but quickly. Actually, you know what? You're right. I didn't.
I did that.
You're right. Damn it.
Because we're making fun of that.
I need to restart the whole fucking thing.
You know, that's a good
32
point.
32 minutes. Go back. Start
up. See you guys in a few. That's part of our cut. Like,
we were doing the sports thing earlier, and we were talking lots of football. I want to end up my stamp on this again. Holy motherfucking shit. Color me impressed. Indiana. Fernando, Super Fernando Mendoza, and Colloquius James. I don't know how the rest of the city feels, but I'm disappointed with you, sir.
All right, moving on. Done football.
Yep.
Football. You want to do football?
The baseball.
You want to do baseball next?
Yeah, yeah. So, quickly, I only have one thing on baseball, and I mean it, but I also don't, but I do. Kyle Tucker's dead to me.
Really? You think so?
He's a fucking Dodger. Fuck him.
Dead to you?
He also can't hear me talking because what was his contract?
Four years, $240 million.
Yeah, but my math carried the two. That's $60 million a year.
$60 million
He has no reason to ever hear a word that comes out of my mouth. He can still be dead to me, but...
His wife's happy.
His wife? Oh, his wife? Well, I mean, that's a lot of money, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you just say that?
Generational
was
wealth. Generational wealth.
$60 million a year, just so you know, happens to be more than $1 million a week.
Yeah.
Just a little over.
I saw somebody tweet something, and it was really interesting because do you remember that Kyle Tucker's older brother played?
Preston Tucker, yeah. Oh, yeah. You remember when Kyle Tucker was first on the team, that was my mantra about him? Was it, Kyle, my name's not Preston Tucker?
Yeah.
Because his brother was
better
for a while.
But yeah, apparently that's a whole part of his story. Like, he would have played for the Astros because his brother played for the Astros. So that's his whole thing. That being said, by the way, the Astros did trade him away. They did trade him away in his contract year in a way that they're like, hey, we know we're not going to match you, right? You know what I mean? There's no hometown discount or whatever. let's just get some something back.
How about this? I'll give it. You know what? Good for him for getting his money. And Breggy signed too. He's with the Cubbies, yeah. Breggy. How much does what's Breggy's contract, Larson? Off the top of your head?
Breggy's making $40 million per.
Where'd he go?
Cubs.
The Cubbies.
Chicago. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. So back to
both of them are making a shit ton. One's making 40. You know what?
I saw a thing, and we could probably have Larson pull up in a second, but I saw a thing, and it was like, and it was attributed to the general manager. What's his name? His name escapes me all of a sudden.
Dana Brown?
No. Before Dana Brown, it was
Luna.
Jeff, yeah. Luna. And it was like, these are all the draft picks and all the AVVs they're making now.
What's AVV?
It's basically what their per year average on their contract. It's like, because the way the contracts are done now and this goofy rule they have, which is probably going to be changed, is that a lot of these teams are deferring the contract.
Sure.
So it's a big money at the end of it, right? And which is the, like if you were actually, you know, doing a contract to the point where that player was going to be the most valuable, you would do the exact opposite, right? Because players don't get better as they get older.
By the way, keep going, but I was like, why would they want to change that? Because, I mean, to me, that's the origin of that is the Bobby Bonilla rule, right? The Bobby Bonilla is getting paid until 2035.
Well, the this is going to starburst a little bit. And why the Dodgers are able to do the contracts that
they're deferring them all the way.
Part of it. But also, when the Dodgers' previous owner was, I think, going through a divorce, they quick sold the team in a spot where they were also negotiating a huge TV deal, and so they get like, I think something like $200 million. What is it?
It's higher than that. $300 million.
Yeah, isn't Magic Johnson a part of that with the Dodgers?
So it was Rupert Murdoch, the Fox guy.
Oopsie.
He was a previous owner.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so they kind of strong armed that sale. There's a whole. It's before divorce, like right? So. I'm not giving her half this team and something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So, but.
Bitch, you are not taking half this fucking team.
But the reason they're able to spend so much money is because, like, they make, like you said, $300 million off of their TV deal. And so, like, they can just invest that much money every single year into their roster, right? And that doesn't include one ticket sale, not one jersey sale. You know what I mean? It's like that is just the bank for overpaying everybody to just win a bunch of championships. And like it's brilliant, but it's so exclusive to both that market and that situation. And it's like you cannot replicate it in a way that's like everybody the theory is that. Their collective bargaining is up after this next season,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a lot of things on the table. And like the way this is done, you know what I mean? Like the players love it because they're getting overpaid in a certain way. But like you know, the teams can't compete.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
There could be a player stoppage in 2027. Basically, is what I'm saying. Because that there whatever it's not CBA. What is it called?
CBA.
Yeah, that is up and. There's some sticking points, and a lot of the owners want to. Otherwise, there's a lot of people that are kind of screaming salary cap because of what the Dodgers are doing. It's like we can't compete with that.
Well, baseball, okay. So again, correct me if I'm wrong. Baseball technically has a salary cap, but there's a luxury tax and/or there's not necessarily a ceiling. And I say that all with the words. The cap, it does exist, but there's also when you go over it, you can pay a penalty tax.
Yeah, it's just a monetary.
It's not really an actual cap. What it is if you go over this number, you have to pay X amount.
Yeah,
think of like the NBA guys. There's a single apron, the second apron, and like for instance, the Mets are over like the fourth apron because they spent so much money.
And that's also per year. And then there's a exponential or increasing. Punishment if you stay in that range year for year. So that's why the Astros were extremely interested in going below that this year because after 3 years, I think it was after 3 years in a certain range, every single dollar over that gets taxed at 50%.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, like right now the Mets are like 40%.
Well, you know what? They're still paying Bobby Bonilla, like I said, till 20.
So, like, yeah. So if they sign a guy for whatever $10 million, they're actually paying $14 million for him. You know what I mean? In a way that like the Astros, like, well, that's a waste of money. That's a waste of money if we can get under. And the Astros done pretty darn good job managing their books.
Aware of the So just to clarify again, the Dodgers' previous owner was Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox.
Yep.
And so in a part of a divorce, in a separation, whatever, in a deal, he made a fucking monetary contract deal with the Dodgers, his team, to for $300 million every year for a TV deal. Something similar, as that.
The TV deal is $8.3 billion over 25 seasons. That helps.
One more time. $8.3 billion, with the big B. 25 years, by my math, that's 300 and change every, oh my God.
So that's why, you know, like.
Helps? That's $300 million. That's almost $100 million every day, bro.
The local TV deals and the way that how the big markets are able to otherwise, you know, kind of win out in that is a thing that's probably gonna be addressed in this next negotiation.
So what is the player's problem with the owners doing that?
I think it's gonna be the smaller market owners that are otherwise going to want to put rules and regulations.
Yeah.
Because ironically,
but Minnesota can't. They don't have a $8.3 billion. Nobody's paying them that much money to watch
their team play.
Minnesota
together could do. It's not as big as LA, but it's still big.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, it's not. It's not $8.3 billion. They can't invest that much. You know what I mean? It's the idea of okay. So
baseball team's owned by a fucking guy who owns a TV station. Simple as that.
Well, but baseball's always been a, you know, lopsided kind of endeavor by way of teams that can spend money,
so
but it's
little,
also
little cities are the ones that say our owners are going to say this is not fair because we can't compete.
I think a bunch of the owners.
The Cubs just said that they couldn't spend any money, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they signed Bregy.
Like, listen, it's New York, L.A., and Chicago, then Houston. Chicago has plenty of people and plenty of, like, if you can't generate the funds you need for your baseball team in the third largest city in the fucking U.S.
And a stadium everyone wants to go to.
It's like, again, don't cry to me about the how.
Yeah, but look at the Oakland Athletics, and they had to move towns because
The A's have sucked for the last 20 years. The last time they mattered was Canseco Maguire.
But
in the early 2000s.
But that's what Oakland would say, that we're in a market that otherwise
can't compete
in a money way, so we can't otherwise buy the town to otherwise compete in a way that we could, you know, make more money and draw more attention. You know what I mean? It's like we're in a slippery slope. We can't ever be New York, who has, you know, number one most populous, also entrenched baseball town, enough to host two cities. You know what I mean?
Two teams
in the city. Yeah. For me, like I really love the X's and O's and the numbers kind of part of baseball. X's and O's, not really. I mean, like the numbers part of GM baseball. Like that's why I love Luhnow, because I loved that.
Thinking
two steps ahead. And so what the Astros are doing, like I do give them a lot of credit for you know, making moves that improve the baseball club, but also get them in a better financial situation. You know, and so they're going to remain under that threshold that they're trying to stay under. And, you know, they're one backup catcher away from, you know, filling out their roster. And they probably have one more ace up their sleeve with
Paredes. Speaking of aces, right, what's my
Imai?
Imai.
How do you say his first name? Tatsuya?
Tatsuya. Imai.
Is it A at the end? Tatsuya?
Yeah.
Tatsuya Imai.
He really hit the stage with
What's up, H-Town?
You know what I was going to do, Nick? I was going to make a nuclear bomb joke about a Japanese player, and then I'm really glad that I didn't make that joke. You know what I mean? I'm glad that I didn't.
I'm gonna say it. We've done it before.
Bring that up at all?
No, I'm gonna bring it up right now.
Wait a minute. That was all out loud, wasn't it? What would the joke been though? What was the joke gonna be? Because he's actually Japanese. It would be more of a Pearl Harbor kind of situation if I'm being, you know.
And there's a crater, and in that
you have seen the crater.
You want to talk about, like, you walk in it, you walk down in the crater, and etched on the walls is what the skyline of Hiroshima used to be. And when you walk out, there's the dome that's the center of that etching. What's left of that dome is there.
Do they play baseball in the crater? You know who does play baseball? Imai. You know what? I was talking to my mom today. You know, my mom's like this new super fan over the last couple of years.
Thing and go that way. topic.
I want to get back on topic. Yeah, yeah. My mom's like, she's a super Astro fan. It would have been Pearl Harbor, would have been a better joke, is what I was saying.
Too soon.
Not Hiroshima, because he's Japanese. He'd be doing the bombing, motherfucker. Anyways, my mom's like, I was like, hey, how your Astros doing, Mom? And she's like, I don't know. I haven't heard much out of him. I was like, they got a new pitcher? She's like, oh, that's right. Did they get the new pitcher? She goes, what's his name? And I said, you know what? That's a good question. I don't even know if I can say it. But they're calling him I-45. She goes, you know what? Yep, that's it. That's all I needed. Like, I love it. And I'm like, you know what? That it actually really does kind of
befitting.
He hit the
proverbial ground running.
He hit the scene in the perfect way, right? Like he endeared himself to the town in a way that, you know, we like that, right? We like grit. We like
pretty much what I saw him do was stand up, throw his H's up, give the fucking DX, and say what's up, H Town, while he's drinking the
what's
fucking purple
up,
drink.
H Town.
And then he followed it up with fuck Dallas. That was that's what I heard him say.
It was in Japanese, though. It didn't get too much press because the translation was
lost
off.
In translation.
Nick
Allah.
Is.
We made sure the translation was perfect.
What's one level below fluent? Like, what would you call that? Whatever that is, Nick is not that about Japanese either. He's 94 levels below that. Yeah.
What I would describe myself as, I used to actually, after my year there, like immediately after, what? I said I was basic conversational. No, what I have now is about 11 phrases.
What's
and
the.
Seven of them are still accurate. There's
what's
they're
the,
starting to lose it.
What's the word for someone who has that many words and phrases and otherwise tries to use them in every single opportunity he's ever existed?
So I think the Japanese word would be gaijing.
Like.
Which means foreigner.
that's actually a really funny joke. Whether that's true or not,
it's absolutely 100% accurate.
Anyways, so the Astros, I think they've done a really good job with their payroll. I think there's a trade up their sleeve. Isak Paredes is gonna be the odd man out. There's just nothing for Christian Walker. And you know what? How about this? Maybe I'm just hoping this to be true, but I do think there's some validity to this. Christian Walker might have a really nice. Bounce back season.
That motherfucking gnat. I'm paying myself $5. Sorry.
All right. Do you write that down to edit that out too? We're gonna call this gnat.
46 minutes and 46 seconds is what it took to catch that motherfucker. But I got his ass.
If you're hearing this, Nick did not let me edit the podcast. Nope. Anyways, so
it's important.
Christian Walker, currently that contract looks ridiculous. But I think he's having a bounce back year. I think he struggled early in the season to hit at Minute Maid. I think he had his road numbers.
He can't hit at Minute Maid because it doesn't exist.
I'm sorry, you're right. Dyken Park. Yeah, he's never hit. I'm not saying never, but he's
didn't
never
hit
played
this last year at fucking Minute
home
Maid.
Games. Anyways, but I think his second half of the year really turned it on. Did he finish with 30 home runs? What is his? Look at his stats for
he
this year.
He did not have 30 this last year.
I think what it is if you take his second half of the season numbers and extrapolate those out to 162 games, he finished with like what would equivalent to 30 home runs. Meaning,
if he played 162.
Yeah, that slump was corrected in the second half of the season. So if he can repeat, he could do that for a full season.
I understand what you're saying.
He's a 30 home run guy, and you know he is a Gold Glove defensive.
If he's a 30 home run guy, I'll even concede that. Say he's a 30 home run guy. Did he hit 30 this year? I don't think so.
No, he didn't.
What? Okay, give me the numbers.
Working on it. Pulling it up. Right, looking it up.
Let's pause the. You know what we need? Oh man, you know what we need, Nick? Okay, write this down. Who's taking notes? No, I'm just kidding. Don't pause it. I'm just kidding. We need music, and the obvious music. I'll tell you that in a second. But that's it. That's the obvious one, right? That's the obvious one.
That's you know what? I'm tone deaf, and I think I nailed it.
We need that. Nick just got excited because he hummed the Jeopardy wait music on key. Just write that down, everyone.
48-30.
It was 27 home runs, 88 RBIs.
27 home runs. Okay, that's a lot closer
damn,
than 30
on,
than you
on.
Thought,
you know
right?
What? I'm even going to fucking back off that. First of all, I was way wrong.
Surprising, so surprising,
yeah, I was
right?
Way wrong.
It's almost like those must have been garbage home runs. It's like, well, I mean, those are garbage time home runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the,
yeah,
it, really that's kind of how you feel about
it. It really helped
because I don't remember that. I don't remember
four of those in the last three games of the season.
You know what?
Garbage home runs.
That's fair.
That's the difference between 23 and 27 and making a fucking number.
That actually tracks. Yeah, that tracks. Okay, that was a really funny thing. Josh Schatzer, lock it in. Lock it in. I think Christian Walker has a bounce back. How about this? If we say he's 3 years, $20 million each season, right? $20 million each season. Okay, he's definitely underperformed this year. We'll give him like he earned 12 of that 20, right?
He was also hurt. I mean, he actually played hockey style the last month of the season when we lost guys left, right, and center.
Does that mean that he was fighting?
No, he didn't
people?
Miss games. Yeah,
he was dragging that leg. That leg was mangled the last month of the season.
So
I'm calling it out. I'm calling it out.
Yeah,
I'm calling it out.
On episode, not necessarily one, but yes, one of season.
Whatever this is called?
The epilogue. We're calling this one the epilogue.
I think I like that. We're transitioning to that? That's what we're doing? You're like forcing it, but that's okay.
This title, we always try to find the episode title, and I think epilogue works, and we'll figure out the rest of the long words I have. But point being, you're saying on this episode, you're declaring as I'm making. Christian Walker has a bounce back year next year.
Yeah, I'll do it next episode too, yeah.
You said over 30 home runs, yeah?
If I'm let's do this. I don't want you to paint me in a corner. Like I'm not shying away from that. I'm not shying away from that at all. But how about this?
Sure I'm clear on what you said.
Next episode, let me transition to something. Next episode, okay, we'll make this part of a bit too. Next episode, I'll have a bonkers declaration of Christian Walker. I'll give you how many home runs I think he's actually gonna hit. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna go. I'll think it through, and you'll go, "That's insane," and then we'll lock it in, and it'll either be crazy or something. Okay, but. So we're gonna wind this. Sorry, I wasn't even listening. Might have been funny. I wasn't even listening because I was thinking of something else.
Go,
no, I'm just saying it. Might have been funny. So elephant.
Elephant in the room.
Elephant in the corner.
Yeah. Man.
It's probably not true, by the way. It's probably not true. Anyways,
even if it's not.
So third member of the podcast, right? We've had a roller coaster of different guest hosts and recurring
speakers,
characters and recurring guests, but we've made a bit of a decision, and that is to continue the podcast. That's the biggest decision. We wanted to get to 50. We made it, and it was like, okay, now what? I was like, well, that was kind of fun. He's like, do you want to stop? I'm like, I guess not. Larson was in the garage. He's like, what are you doing next week?
What are you doing tomorrow?
And then the first night he bailed. He's like, you know what? All that shit talking I was doing last night. Eep. Anyway, so we are.
He said
we're making an official. Here's what we're doing. Okay.
I'm an ice storm.
The podcast is making some changes, but I'm not going to declare what the changes are. Like TBD. Okay. So thanks for joining us on your first ever guest spot, Larson.
Yeah.
And I think the idea is. Yeah, we don't mind if you want to join the podcast permanently, but I think we ought to do our due diligence. You know what I'm saying?
Sounds like Josh, if I may, it sounds like what you're trying to describing here is that we might be entertaining going forward, not just a guest speaker spot, permanent piece of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost a third leg to the
Not a third leg. No, no. We said specifically is not a third leg. Don't think of yourself as an equal member. You know what I mean?
It's mostly because he's black. And he's fat.
Okay, first of all, listen, it is about the imagination, Nick. I was going to let the guest understand who they think he might be through his voice, right?
But I introduced him as my Spanish friend.
That's to people who can see him, you know. So
but now
he
I just
might
describe
look
him
Spanish.
As fat and black.
Anyways,
so
back to
this
me.
Is where we just throw in shit.
The point is that we love Larson. We love having a podcast with him. And we really seriously considering including him as, whatever, a regular member, whatever that means, right?
Is it something akin to like with Rogan with Jamie, like an actual technical producer, director, something like that?
Yeah.
Are you looking for that, maybe?
That Jamie very rarely speaks, right?
Yeah,
something very, very close to that would be ideal. And I don't know.
But how do we go about doing that?
Okay, no. Here's the deal. We want to do our due diligence to make sure
that
this person. If somebody was smart, they'd cut it up maybe. Rad hip hop or a rad rave song out of that, you know what I mean? Anyways, the point is, this is the longest rambling thing. Larson, we'd love to have you on the team, but we're gonna do our due diligence. Next week or next time we get together, we're actually going to put you through. We're calling it an interview. So we're gonna have a couple questions. We're gonna see if you're qualified. If you meet our very, very stringent,
Say that again, stupid.
Stringent,
rigorous.
Rigorous?
Yeah. I got lost in your stringent too.
This is definitely the point of the show.
It's not rigor mortis.
Rigorous. Refrain from any jokes, Larson. That's okay. I'm not holding this against you, okay? This is guest mode.
Larson only gets one joke per podcast.
We're not saying that exactly. We're saying the goal is zero. I mean, the goal is zero.
So don't write down mine, but write down yours. Got it.
All right. Anyways, Larson will get an interview. We're going to ask him some questions. We're going to get to learn a little bit about Larson.
We got to make sure that he's actually somebody who wants to be a part of this thing. Because, like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
We've done this 50 times that we've recorded.
What's the actual number?
A lot.
Those don't count. They count my heart.
How about this?
There's
at least 50 other times that we've had conversations where you have directly said to me, this should be a podcast. We should be recording a podcast right now.
Often, yeah. That's the whole point. We're too lazy to do it. We're hoping that Larson inspires us and motivates us and also sets everything up for us.
Well, the technical engineer part, and it's going to be a good one, I think so. Like, you know, it's also, it tickles his production part, my production part, yours too. We all have
what's funny
specific.
Is today, like, he was looking like he wanted to help, and I'm like, Larson, I don't have time to show you anything today, which is like...
No, when you were gone, I let him do all of that,
I'm teasing.
I was
enjoying
watching him do that.
We are going to put our Larson through an interview.
Our Larson. He's called
our we're going to put our little Larson through an interview process, and we'll let you guys take a little vote, a poll, see if you guys think he should stay. it's like... that was funny.
By the way, that laugh right there, my son describes that as my cackle.
Come back to me.
I don't think it's
hold on. Come back to me. The other thing is, we are undecided on the name. Like, I'm pretty sure Todatus will stick. I think we paid for the website for another year. So I think Todatus is staying. We're thinking about should we just keep it Todatus episode 51? Should we add something? Or what was the thing you said it might be called? Nick?
It'd be called tentatively. I have right. It's Todatus season 2 chapter. Part do episode 1. And that might not be enough words.
Yeah. I don't know.
Can we mix in a decimal
or a fraction? Or
and I like it. It's also, like, it's not necessarily too much on the tongue, but it's also not
Could
right.
Could we add on a postscript, like the Larson years, or featuring Larson, or...
I like the idea here, too. You know what? Let's make this part of the interview.
Right, anyways, let's wind this thing down. Nicholas, thanks for doing this. Larson, give me a beer.
How about this? What are your thoughts there, buddy?
Let's wind this down.
Hey, I'm having a blast.
That's enough.
Guys.
That's enough of that.
Welcome. Next time is the interview, buddy. I look forward to it.
Yeah, the interview.
Bring the torture. I got you.
Bring notes. What do you think we should make him do, Nick? Let's come up with some stuff right now. What should we make him do?
He just said torture.
Torture. Not only torture him. Like, contribute. Contribute to the show, man.
I think it did pretty well tonight. I appreciate it all. I look forward to it, man.
We definitely need music for when he takes too long finding stuff, because that's going to be so funny.
Don't make room for Dallas teams, please.
Don't what?
Don't make room for Dallas teams.
We would never
what
do
Dallas
that.
Teams? Why we didn't even talk about Arsenal Man U that's going down this weekend.
Man, you suck.
Man, you suck. Man, you stink.
2-1 Man U. I got it right now.
Oh, you know what? I think you
2-1 Man
U.
You think you give us our second
Larson,
loss of the season?
You,
you know,
did,
listen.
Did
I don't hate.
I
don't.
Got fired.
I do not hate. I do not hate the Red Devils as much as I used to because they're insignificant. Where are you guys on the table right now?
We're fifth.
You know we are, Nick.
First.
We're this can right here. We're this bottle right here. We're this coaster right here. On top of the table.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so Joshua, we're gonna do on the next podcast aside from interview Larson.
Same thing we do every time, Nick.
What's that?
Try and take over the world.
Boom. Your Highness, Secretary General, Your Majesties, Your Royal Highnesses, Presidents, Prime Ministers, Ministers, ladies and gentlemen.